I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to the Virago Podcast, a monthly celebration of books, reading, and writing, brought to you by Virago Press, the international publisher of books by women.
This is the Virago Podcast coming to you. My name is Lenny Goodings. I'm chair at Virago. And around the table, I have gathered a whole gang of people from Virago to talk about the books we're really excited about for 2020. So can I just ask each of you to introduce yourself?
I'm Donna Coonan, and I run the Virago Modern Classics list.
I'm Rose Tomaszewska, and I'm senior commissioning editor at Virago.
I'm Zoe Hood, and I'm Virago Publicity Department.
I'm Ayla Ahmed, and I'm editorial director at Virago.
So, great brains, great books. Donna, what have you chosen?
I've chosen The Street by Anne Petrie, which is an incredible book that was published in 1946, and it was the first novel by a black woman to sell more than a million copies. But strangely to me, it's been fairly well forgotten. And it's really serious, page-turning literary fiction, completely compelling. But it's completely relevant for today, and it's really timely. It's against the movements of Black Lives Matter and Me Too. It couldn't be more relevant, really. Tayari Jones is going to be writing the introduction, and in an article that she wrote last year in the New York Times, she said that it was ahead of its time when it was written, and therefore now is the time to publish it.
So I've been at Virago so long, I remember that we published this book in the Virago Modern Classics in the 80s, and it was the response was a bit muted at that time. Why do you think it's going to be different this time around?
Well, as I said, really, I think there are movements at the moment that are happening that you know, we really need to champion these writers. If women are written out of the canon so often, and that's the reason the Virago Modern Classics existed, then it's even more so with black women writers. And this book is about... So it's the story of a young black woman who... she's a mother, and she leaves a cheating husband to go and live in Harlem with her young 8-year-old son. And she really believes in the American dream. She believes that if she works hard, she can make a life for herself and her son that she'll be proud of. But without any sort of net in society to help her and to support her in this, you just see her spiraling. And it's an immensely powerful book. But if that sounds worthy, that couldn't be more wrong. It's so page-turning.
I remember it exactly all those ways. So that's The Street by Anne Petrie. Thank you. Rose, what have you got? What have you chosen?
I chose Scenes of a Graphic Nature by Caroline O'Donoghue. This is the second novel by a woman who wrote Promising Young Women a couple of years back. And I love Caroline's writing. I love her approach. She's got very fun energy and this kind of responsiveness, not only to contemporary women's lives, but also contemporary women's fiction and literature. This very sharp kind of lemon juice sort of sense of humour, which underneath is a great deal of warmth and tenderness. So I think there's a certain kind of novel where the protagonist goes in search of their family history, often returning to a sort of spiritual home. And Caroline takes that, but puts her own kind of subversive twist on it. So Charlie goes home to Ireland to find out about her dad's past. And there's a great deal about Irishness and a claim to heritage. And I think that a lot of people who are second or third generation children of immigrants can really understand that. She's got this hilarious scene in a bar where everyone's playing folk music and she's feeling genuinely Irish for the first time in her life. And the next morning it all shifts and changes and there's this kind of hollowness. And somebody says, Ireland worked on you. That's what it's supposed to do. Which I find, you know, the humour at the same level as her kind of serious, you know, there's a black humour to that.
She's very clever. And yes, we published her first novel, didn't we?
Yeah. Again, a very kind of subversive take on office relationships and toxic romances as well. But she really undercuts your expectations and surprises you.
I think we've got a real gem with her. I'm glad she's coming with Virago. So that's Scenes of a Graphic Nature. Zoe, tell us about your choice.
I've chosen Big Friendship by Aminatou Sow and Anne Friedman, the podcasters of Call Your Girlfriend, who are long-distance besties who catch up on the phone every week on their podcast. I was really interested in listening to the podcast when it started years ago, because, for two reasons actually, the concept is that, so they're friends, and work has taken them to two different sides of the US. So Amina, as she sometimes refers to herself, is based in on the West Coast, and Anne is based in New York. Anne's a journalist, Amina's in tech. I was really interested in particularly in Amina's story because she is one of the few female voices of tech outside, you know, the Sheryl Sandberg. So she's younger, she and Anne are in their 30s. I was really interested in how their discussion, which is what the podcast is, their half-hour phone catch-up to maintain their friendship, how it's going to manifest and what they were going to talk about. Anne's a journalist, very very interesting in her own right. So they have this catch-up, and that's the basis of the podcast. And then the second reason why I really enjoy listening to the podcast is because they're deeply interested in friendship. And so they have this book coming out in July called Big Friendship, where they explore modern female friendships. And the podcast, through the podcast, they talk about everything from the news cycle to the menstruation cycle. But they also have a lot of fun. They talk about the Kardashians every week. It's a very interested in group dynamics, which is very important for a book about friendship. And obviously, Amina's burgeoning kaftan collection, which I'm particularly intrigued by. So they wanted to, they've had a very enduring and tested friendship, and they met as adults. And Anne, being a writer, she is really good at kind of probing all of these different situations that she and Amina find themselves in their female lives, and they're very conscious about how it affects their own relationships and their own friendship. Predominantly, most books about relationships, are still about romantic relationships. There was very little for people who were going through these long-term relationships with friends, particularly female friendship, I think. So they've gone back to the kind of platonic roots of what, you know, classical friendship is. So there are some enduring themes, but there's also going to be lots and lots of modern stuff. So how the internet comes into play with these friendships, what happens when your friendship is tested through group dynamics, other friendships that kind of maybe interfere with your own dynamic, or even very serious things like health issues. So Amina herself has quite recently been through some very extreme things with her health, so they've had to navigate that as well. And it's all told with warmth, humour. It's about disclosure of emotion, and all of the kind of wonderful probing things that the podcast has is going to be applied to this big, big human subject of friendship.
Great. Big Friendship.
Big Friendship.
I love it. Big. I love the title as well, actually.
It's so then.
And so, Isla, what have you got?
So I have a novel called How Much of These Hills Is Gold by C. Pan Zhang. And this is Virago's lead debut novel for 2020. We'll be publishing in April, and it's being published in the US by Riverhead. And this is an extremely beautifully written novel about two siblings. It's set in the American West during the Gold Rush. And in the opening of the novel, the two siblings, their father has passed away, and they're looking for two silver dollars to put over his eyes to give him a burial in line with their Chinese traditions. They end up getting into trouble in the town in which they live. The younger sibling fires off a gun. They have to leave. And the first quarter of the novel is the two of them travelling across a harsh landscape with the body of their father on their backs, slowly decomposing. It's a really striking, really visceral image. The writing on the line mirrors exactly what's happening in the plot. And it is just kind of breathtaking. The eldest sibling has a version of their family history which is quite fractured. So she ends up becoming very angry and begins to grind bits of her father's body into the ground. The younger sibling idealise the father and remakes themselves in their father's image, carries a gun around town. It's kind of all about bravado and masculinity. And what I think this novel really is about is the way that two people can grow up in the same family and have completely different versions of that family narrative. So the two siblings eventually clash, and it becomes a novel about family, about adventure, about sacrifice ultimately. And C. Pan Zhang is just the most extraordinary young novelist, and I can't wait to publish her in April.
And this is her first novel.
This is her very first novel.
So it's an extraordinary feat for, yes, for a first novel.
Absolutely. I think with some writers, you can just tell, you know, as soon as you read the first sentence, the first paragraph, that they have something really special. And actually with her, it's completely undeniable. Garth Greenwell has provided a blurb for this novel, saying that it's a wonder, gorgeous, soulful, feral. Lauren Groff says, ferocious, dark and gleaming. So it's not just us, it's other writers already who are championing Pam.
So that's How Much of These Hills Is Gold.
Yes.
And I'm going to allow myself, even though I'm chairing this talk, to say one book that I'm looking forward to next year. It's called The Light of Days, Women Fighters of the Jewish Resistance, Their Untold Story by Judy Battalion. And this is the story, a very unknown story, of the women resistance fighters, like the subtitle says, many of whom were just teenage girls who took on the Gestapo. And they blew up bridges, they seduced the Gestapo, stabbed them, and then came back and forth to the ghetto many, many times to get people out. It's very extraordinary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OSEAMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code MOM.
Right. So just to show our listeners that we're not just partial to Virago, though of course we are, we've all chosen a book from somebody else's publishing house too. So Isla, what have you chosen?
I've chosen a novella called Braised Pork by Anne Yu, which is a beautiful novel set in Beijing about loneliness, about creativity, and about aquatic creatures, which, yeah, is my new favourite subgenre, along with Mrs. Caliban by Rachel Ingalls and The Shape of Water, which I'm slightly obsessed with. So that's coming out in January 2020, and it's Harvey Olsacker.
Nice. Donna?
I am really looking forward to, no big surprises here, Hilary Mantel's new novel, the final part of her Cromwell series. These books were all brought out one at a time as I went on maternity leave, so they were quite big tomes to balance on my baby's heads while I was holding them. I don't have a new baby to come out with this one, but if there was any writer who could get me interested in that dour old figure painted by Holbein, then Hilary Mantel was the woman, and she is, and I love these books.
Rose, what have you got?
I've chosen True Story by Kate Reed Petty. She's a debut author and it's coming out with River Run in summer. The title is a very clever allusion to the fact it begins with a rumour of rape on a college campus and you don't know what really happened. And then it becomes so unusual, it spins out each chapter into a different genre. So one bit is written in the way of a psychological thriller, one bit is written like a horror, and one bit is written like a crime noir. And it's all about fiction and the stories that we tell ourselves about men and women, and you don't find out until the end what really happened at the beginning. I just like it when writers use the kind of playfulness that you can do with fiction to present something that breaks the bounds of reality. You know, they use the form to tell you something special. I think that Si Pam Zhang does that really, really well in How Much of These Hills is Gold as well. And it's exciting to read. It feels so new.
I see all the books that you four have chosen for next year are all novels. Because you have a novel too, don't you, Zoe?
I do, but the more I think about this novel, the more I think that it's a bit like the Judy Battalion, actually, in some of the themes. Bit of a cheat. It's already out. It's in paperback in 2020, which is why I've been able to read it. It's also called The Man Who Saw Everything, but it's the new Deborah Levy. So, of course, it's only about a man on the surface. she's very interested in surface, Levy is. Like many of her other novels and works of non-fiction, it appears to be realist, but she's actually going to test some philosophical ideas by some pretty wild and spirited characters. So it reminds me of the Judy Battalion because it's set in a particularly key historical moment. So 1988 is when it opens. Saul, the protagonist, has been knocked over by a car on Abbey Road. And cannily enough, this year, 2019, is the anniversary of that very Beatles album. So the reader is sort of in the story as well. His girlfriend takes a picture of him, covered in blood, and like the pearl necklace he had inherited from his family, who were victims of the Holocaust, the picture takes on various meanings. He heads off to live in Berlin just prior to the fall of the Berlin Wall. And it's an intriguing role reversal because Saul, who is Jewish, is the free man visiting the captive Germans of the GDR. And he brings with him news from the outside world, as well as Wrangler jeans and lots of excitement and sex and frisson. Things get messy. Halfway through the novel, Saul gets knocked over again on the Abbey Road, again by a man called Wolfgang. But it's 2016 now. And the reader is left how much can we trust Saul's account when he's increasingly spied and spied upon? And should we instead trust Jennifer, who refuses to be verbally described? Anyway, I think anybody who reads Ian McEwan should absolutely read Deborah Levy. So this is going to be a big paperback, I think, for 2020.
What I love about Deborah Levy is that she's been writing for years and years and years, and it's great that she's finally getting
that
the
recognition. Exactly, exactly.
So we're going to finish this look at 2020 with each of us telling us a reading resolution for the new decade, for goodness sake, not even just the new year. So who wants to go first?
I'll go first. As you say, you've noticed all of us have chosen fiction. I do not read enough nonfiction, and I need to get out of my fiction head and read more nonfiction. There's a world around us that's to be explored.
I'll just recommend The Light of Days, will I?
I'll definitely do that.
Rose, what is your resolution?
Well, I briefly flirted with the idea of resolving to read more books by men because I realised that I'm rarely able to cite very many male writers that I know. I decided that I would read more Virago modern classics because there are several that I've read and loved, you know, when I was a teenager, but I think as an editor trying to keep up with, you know, what new books are coming out and what everybody else is publishing, you're often reading new stuff. And there's quite a lot of exciting books that Donna's been bringing out over the past few months and been talking about coming out this year that I really want to get into. So, I'm excited.
I'm going to steal Rose's idea a little bit and also look at contemporary and history. I'm going to be, again, plumbing the VMC list as well. It's just a complete gold mine. I'm mixing that with plenty of contemporary fiction and non-fiction.
Nice. Donna, how many classics, Virago Modern classics, are there now? 700, I think.
Yeah, I think something like 700.
Lots to draw on.
Okay, that'll keep me busy then.
Isla, what are you going to choose?
My resolution is not to do anything new, but to lean in closer to what I love and what I've been reading all year, which is novellas by women writers. So that means more Muriel Spark, more Natalia Ginsberg, Clarice Lispector, Rachel Ingalls. Just more, indulging more in the things that I really enjoy.
My reading resolution is going to be to read more on the tube instead of looking at the damn iPhone.
Yes, absolutely.
No screen glare. Yeah.
As a special treat, I thought I would ask Maddie Hall. Madeline is our digital marketing director, and it was her idea that we all have reading resolutions, so I think it's only fair we finish with hers.
I have had no time to plan this. My reading resolution for 2020 is probably a continuation of my one from this year, which was to not put pressure on myself if I'm finding I'm having a reading lull, but to really enjoy the books that I am reading, regardless of how long it takes me to get through them. And probably to read more memoirs. I've read some great memoirs this year, and I find you get a little bit of everything from a memoir. There's a story, but there's history and nonfiction.
Very nice. I just thought we should bring in our silent partner sitting here, helping us through all these podcasts.
And one last resolution I think we have to mention. Lenny said earlier that she was around at Virago back in the 80s when Anne Petrie was first published. And I think that's a testament to all of her time here that she is publishing a memoir next year called A Bite of the Apple, which is going to be so exciting to read about the history of Virago and the books and the authors that we published over all of those decades, and what it is like to bring together a publishing house full of women publishing women.
Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much, Isla, Zoe, Rose, Donna, Maddie. I think there's some amazing things for all of us to get interested in.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Virago Podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe and also leave us a review. It helps other people find the podcast. We'd also love you to be in touch on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or our website, virago.co.uk. Tune in next month for another installment of Books, Feminism, and Conversation from Virago Press, the international publisher of books by women.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.